It's Sunday morning. I'm in pajamas. I'm shifting back and forth in my seat kind of uncomfortably. So you know what that means?
Time for a bathroom break?
Yeah. After that, it'll be time for the Sucks podcast. I'll be right back. Whew, close one. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, I am your host, Brad.
I am your host, Dave.
And I'm producer Joe.
And this is a podcast where three friends and dummies talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us every day.
For good or for bad. Mostly focused on the bad.
Happy Sunday morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Brad, you mixed it up there with the ending. I like it. I like the new tagline. Sure. And I do have to say, we had a little discussion before about your personal brand. Mm-hmm. And that intro just blows the lid off the toilet, I think.
It blows the lid off the toilet?
For our users, Brad, I was telling Brad, I said, don't be shy about this topic because I'm sensing a little bit of hesitancy. And he gave me this whole spiel. Why don't you tell the spiel, Brad? Let me tell you. Tell them what you told me.
We were talking about personal brands, and you know,
we're talking about personal brands. You're the only one that has a personal brand.
I'm the only one arrogant enough to think that I have a personal brand. And you know, for me, it's about cooking and I try to present an image of maybe being a little suave, a little classy sometimes, and the talking in depth about scatological subjects is not really part of that.
I think the word you used was gentleman, Brad. Gentleman. I think it all sums up, in that. And I think that's fair. I think it's fair to your brand, but what? Gentlemen also take a shit, Brad.
Sure, but they don't necessarily discuss it for an hour on a podcast.
Well, we'll see if your personal brand survives. That's the goal of this episode.
Maybe I don't need to be overly concerned about my personal brand. You know, at the end of the day, this could be a Brad problem.
Sounds like it. How you doing, Joe?
Okay, guys. Good to see you. Good to be here on a lovely Sunday morning with you two. Everybody doing all right?
Especially got that extra hour. How's that treating you? Oof.
I always hate to see the daylight go away, but I like the extra hour sleep.
True that. For our listeners, it is daylight savings. Is that what you call this time of the year? Fallback?
This is standard time now.
Standard, whatever.
So daylight savings has ended. Instead of 2 o'clock this morning or something.
So it's going to be darker when we come home from work? Is that the net result? I can never figure this out.
Yes.
I'm like 100 years old and I still don't know what's what.
Yes, but it was light when I woke up this morning. I woke up at 6 and it was light.
We talked about this and you guys didn't dig that. I don't want daylight. I don't want to be, because I drive south, east, and I drive northwest. So the sun is always in my eyes either way. And I don't like that. This time of the year, I love it. Mm-hmm.
So really your problem is you just have to get a job in an opposite direction and you're fine.
I mean, that could be a solution, but I like my job. I like my job, Joe. So,
guys, in the news this week, Google Hangouts has officially been retired. It's off. They shut it down completely. And this is how the podcast started. So I wanted to mention that. We started by talking about Google Messaging, and Hangouts was what we were using at the time and what we had been using for years. So pour one out for Google Hangouts. Google, by the way, still hasn't fixed it.
Sigh. I mean, it's the sadness, Brad, is that Google Hangouts was the solution. like if we were going to design one, that was it. Well, hey, Google, if you're listening, bring back Hangout. It just woke up on my phone. If you're listening, bring back Hangouts, or at least create the next version of Hangouts, because good Lord.
All right, we'll take a quick break, probably to go to the bathroom again, and then we'll come back and talk about public bathroom design. Warning, this commercial includes language not intended for young audiences and is a work of parody under the Fair Use Clause codified in Section 107 of the Copyright Act. David, I know you're a married person, right?
Yeah, Brad.
Okay. So I know your wife. This ad isn't going to be for you, but For a great deal of the population, especially coming out of a pandemic, people are looking for personal, intimate connections, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you talking about,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, all right.
We have to keep this PG for ad reads, but let me be honest here, all right? And you're going to have to do some editing here. People need a good every now and then, right?
Whoa. Agreed. But watch yourself, counselor.
Okay. And if you are really looking for a good, you want simple, intuitive navigation. You want clear cut 17 through 100% fees on every transaction. And you want to get this from one of the most hated companies in America.
Is this the part where you get us sued?
Ticketmaster.com is your go-to for when you just really want to get.
I do not endorse this clear and obvious work of parody.
All right. Let's say that you want to buy a concert ticket and it has a list price of $130. But let's say you're also feeling a little lonely, a little amorous,
licentious even.
You really want those tickets, sure. But you're also just looking for a good old fashioned Ticketmaster is the place for you.
Wow, do you agree, counselor?
Dave? Yeah, Brad.
So go to Ticketmaster.com and use the promo code for an extra 30% added on top of your face value ticket fees, on top of the 30 to 110% fees that they're already charging you now. Ticketmaster.com, the place for when you're looking to get boned. And we are back to talk about public restrooms. I'm nervous about this topic. Ma'am. Let's do it.
I'm not. This is my idea, I'd like to say. I've been wanting to, when we came up with this podcast idea, this is one of them. Mm-hmm. Automobiles is another. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that episode because we have a disagreement, but we almost
did that one today, but we'll say
that. Yeah, we're going to do that soon. Automobiles. Mm-hmm. All right. Public bathrooms. What do you got, Brad?
Well, it's probably easy to talk about awful public restroom experiences, but how about great ones? Can you guys do any like really great public restrooms come to mind based on your experience?
This is very, very, very niche, but the public restrooms at the Grand Californian Hotel at Disneyland are amazing. There's hardwood, like oak doors on all the stalls that go from like ceiling to floor.
Yep. Brilliant.
And then they have all the other stuff too. They're accessible and adaptable. Mm-hmm. Although, like many other bathrooms, they have problems with like the sinks and the paper dispensers. So, you know, it never seems like nothing's perfect. But yeah, that kind of like classy oak door, and it's solid, and the dividers key. Are solid. Yeah.
That's key, Joe. I have a similar experience. This is probably too telling. This, luckily, I don't have a personal brand. But when I used to work in downtown LA, I would hate our bathrooms at the office. They were fine. They were okay. But there were certain things we'll get into later that I didn't like about them, which actually made me think about this episode. Mind you, it came from that experience. I used to cross the street to the Omni Hotel to do my business. And they had the same thing. They had floor to ceiling, wood doors. But Joe, the one mistake they made was they did leave a little gap. And I don't understand the little gap, but and the floor was highly reflective. So I always wondered if you looked at the right angle, could you see it? Could it bounce up and see? But the other thing they had was these hand towels that were like, they weren't like napkin, like proper towels, but they weren't thin paper cloths. Does that make sense?
They were like,
I can't remember if you recycled them. Right. Or if you threw them out, but they felt good on my hands. That's all I remember. It was a very good experience. Here's my second one. I'll keep it short. And I don't want to spoiler alert, because this might be at the end of the episode too. Mm-hmm. I recently went to a restaurant in Silver Lake, which is outside of LA for those who are not in the area. And it was a cool restaurant. It was like a treehouse theme. It was really interesting. But the bathroom, they had retrofitted it to be a common space, which was a little confusing because you had two places you could go, and they kind of played with it with the signage, like this way or that way. And I'm like, what? So it took me a little bit to figure out what they were doing, but basically they had the sinks outside the stalls, and the stalls were floor to ceiling doors, and they were private. Anybody could use them. And I was like, oh, this is brilliant. Like, this separates the space, and it worked. I thought that was a cool experience. Mm-hmm. What about you, Brad?
Another good example is seemed to be a uniform theme of hotel restrooms doing a good job. The public restroom at the Beverly Hills Hotel in the lobby is very similar to the Grand Californian. in terms of its design and aesthetic. It's got these big oak doors, you know, floor to ceiling. They have like cloth towels to wash your hands, which feels like super classy.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Why don't we jump into the worst examples, Brad? I know you have one, and I certainly have one as well.
Yeah, man. My worst example is in recent history. You know, I took my daughter to see Lady Gaga at Dodger Stadium, which I mentioned on this podcast before, but I didn't mention that we had to go to the bathroom. She had to go to the bathroom, which means I had to take her into the men's restroom at Dodger Stadium when it's like just shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, boy.
Traumatizing. And frankly, it's traumatizing for me to go into that restroom. Yeah. And it seems to be pretty uniform across all old school ballparks that they have this.
It's like a trough, right?
Troughs.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Who came up with
that? Who thought of that?
Dude, yeah. It makes me very uncomfortable even to talk about the concept of peeing in a trough.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? I mean, Producer Joe, you did a little research on the history. Like, that used to be the norm well before America, right? Like, didn't we used to do more in public?
Well, kind of the most common accepted, like, public toilets is in ancient Rome. It's a very clean system, but it was very public. It was very public because think of like a sauna where like people will just sit next to each other on a bench. Mm-hmm. But this would be like, imagine the bench has a bunch of holes in it. So you're just sitting right next to somebody else doing your business. And
yeah, that's what I was getting at. That's crazy. I mean, I saw an episode of like Netflix or somebody has this curse word show, like the history of curse words. I think that's where I saw it. And they actually visualized this, like people just sitting around, like shooting the breeze. I guess that's where you're shooting the shit, right? Yeah. Each other while they're taking a dump. Could you imagine? Like, so we're complaining. Maybe we're a bunch of, you know.
Well, that's what I said. I think it's a little different from culture to culture. But okay, here's a question. Have you guys ever used a squat toilet?
I've seen one and chosen not to use it. Yeah. So I think what you're describing, Joe, is it's a bit kind of hole in the ground. And then there's a bar to hold on to.
A bar or no bar.
Like to hold on to you with your hands so you can squat over a hole in the ground. I have seen this in European countries. Okay. One more nightmare-ish experience that I've seen twice in the past few months, which probably speaks more to like maybe the places that I'm hanging out in. I don't know. But I'm talking about grown-ass man standing at a urinal with their pants around their ankles, with their butt out.
Thing. Come on. Were you in a gym locker room? What is this? I think
once was in a Target. It was definitely in a Target.
Come on, man.
Grown-ass man, butt on full display. I've seen it twice. I've seen it twice in the last 6 months, which is like making me reevaluate my life. Like, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Okay, so I'm in a Target in Northridge. Is that part of the problem? Maybe. Is it Target? Where was the other one? I don't know. But like,
Brad, that is horrifying. I did see someone at the gym yesterday who had his robe on, or was it a towel? And he's, you know, it was a towel, and the tease is holding the towel open with both hands while he was peeing in the urinal. I was like,
what? Wait, with both hands?
That so, like,
poses some logistical questions for me.
Imagine you're holding it. It's good control, I guess. But so I guess he put his towel on when he got out of the shower, and then he's like, oh, I got to pee. So rather than getting dressed, I guess he really had to go. So he just kind of like, you know, you can't hold a towel with one hand.
I think we've just lost every listener to this podcast.
All right, let's move on. Minutes. Let's jump into the user design here. Question.
Let's start with personas, shall we? Let's start with personas.
Let's do it.
This is maybe one of the best examples of why you need personas when you're designing something. Because, all right, we're three cisgendered white guys designing bathrooms for everyone. We can't design based on our needs because we're gonna mess it up, right? Mm-hmm. So let's jump into personas because we have to account for a whole bunch of people here.
Which, by the way, is how the bathrooms have historically been created.
I think so too. Like, I think that's probably true. Like, you know, three cisgendered white guys probably came up with this initial bathroom design, which we're really talking about and referring to. All right. I'm going to start with a prime persona, and then we can get into, you know, actual personas. Prime persona. I just wanted to say this because I'm proud that I wrote it.
Oh, God.
Prime persona is any human who currently has a butt. All right, let's go into real personas.
Agreed.
Okay.
All right. Oh, I'm supposed to start with the first one, too. Sorry about that. Yep. We have an order here. Jack is a 27-year-old dad at a grocery store or any public place with an infant daughter. He knows that if he's going to be out longer than an hour or so, he's probably going to need to perform a diaper change in a public restroom. And he'll probably use that restroom at the same time.
Carter is an older transgender individual who identifies as non-binary. They're in rural America at a department store holiday shopping and needs to use one of the department store's bathrooms labeled men or women.
Min is a woman in her early 20s with cerebral palsy. She has a mobility aid when walking. She's navigating an airport and needs to use a restroom.
Hannah is an unhoused young woman with a critical job interview coming up. She has no private restroom available, and she will need to use a public restroom to clean up before her meeting.
Dave is a 47... Brad, you son of a bitch. I should read these before I agree to them. Okay, fine. Dave is a 40-something podcast host who has a case of massive debilitating diarrhea. Asshole. Due to eating too much $1 tacos from
Redacted.
Taco Bell. Actually, those nacho fries, I've been wanting to try those. He's driving alone and starting to cold sweat with his arm hair standing up. He's running out of time.
This is what happens when you have me write the script. Oh, boy. Laura is an early 20s young woman. She's out late in Los Angeles. It's 1 a.m. and she needs to find a public restroom, and she has safety concerns.
All right. Okay, there you have it, folks. All right. User personas.
So not as cut and dry as, hey, I just need to use the bathroom, and here's one, and I can go into it.
Obviously, we could have developed 100 of these personas, but the idea here is that there are wide needs, and you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of different types of people who obviously have to use the bathroom.
Yes, sir.
Is that the stupidest thing I've ever said on this podcast?
Oh,
but
no.
There's a lot of people who have needs who have to go to the bathroom. It might be.
All right, let's jump into the user journey. I'm going to take this one, Brad. Okay. As a user, I have a limited amount of time to use and find a public restroom. I will have a limited amount of choice in its quality, and I am usually subject to what is in my immediate surroundings. At a certain point, things like privacy, comfort, and safety will have to take a back seat. Pun intended.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So here's some other considerations when designing public restrooms before we get into detail. There's a paradox in designing and needing privacy within public spaces. The user experience of public restrooms is a combination of human behaviors, psychology, and physical interaction design. That's from uxdesign.cc website. I thought that was pretty smart.
Nice.
It's a place where your user experience is heavily affected by how a previous person used it.
Oh, good point.
And technology often fails. I'm talking about auto sinks and auto flush and things like that. And I think that when people are designing restrooms, they're basing it on best case thinking, not worst case. For example, there doesn't seem to be a manual override for those auto sinks that never work.
Yeah. Why are those things not in the actual faucet itself? Like, why are they off to the side or in the sink? Like, if I put my hand under the faucet, if you have the beam coming out of the faucet, wouldn't that solve the entire problem? I don't know the mechanics. I don't design things. I don't make things.
You just solve problems.
You do, actually, but...
No, I do. I mean, I don't design products.
Maybe not things.
Physical products. Yes.
And I've always wondered that, too. Like, how are we supposed to trust self-driving cars if I can't even get a sink to turn on?
Good point.
I was going to say, I don't know if this is relevant to the user personas, but I've actually heard that skin tone, like when they actually designed those, they used a very narrow band of skin tones. So it certainly picks up...
Sensors?
I'm going to cut this because I haven't.
No, it's true, Joe. And well, or it's what I understand to be true anyway. So it does respond to color, and I wear all black all the time, almost all the time, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't read the color black, right? So my clothing presents a problem, and presumably it might present a problem for people with darker skin too.
Are we talking about bathroom sensors?
Yeah. We're talking about those sink sensors. Auto sensor.
Interesting. Why can't this soap dispenser identify dark skin? Gizmodo. Yeah, Joe, you're on point there. It's 2017. Yep. Hopefully they solved it.
Spoiler, they have not.
Ah, boo. Okay, guys, we got to keep on track here.
All right.
Where were we?
Why don't you break down some baseline user requirements for us? Really basic for now.
Okay, great. Yeah, let's start with privacy. Big one. Probably the biggest. We've got, and in privacy, we're going to talk about things like sound, smell, and sight. What does sight mean?
And your problem with people seeing underneath the reflections under the floor.
Yeah, and by the way, Dave, before you move on, you said privacy is the most important one.
Yeah,
that's pretty telling. That's the most important for you.
Ah, good point. This is why we do personas.
Not the most important for other people.
I think it is for a lot of people. No, some people don't want to be private.
Keep on going.
Ancient Romans. All right, what's next? All right. So safety, cleanliness and hygiene, accessibility for all mobility types, adaptability, think as in our persona, diaper changes. And by the way, as a dad of a girl, I feel your pain, Brad. I know you're writing that, thinking mm-hmm. about this very personally, because they do cater to women in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find a diaper change station for in a men's bathroom. And then lastly, speed, the need for fastest possible turnaround to prevent lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned privacy is the most important, but you know, if you're, you know, someone with cerebral palsy or mobility issues, privacy may not be the most pertinent issue.
That's a good point.
If you're, you know, that young lady in Los Angeles after midnight, maybe safety is more of a concern.
Yeah, true. I would say that privacy is always up there though for everyone. Like if I have cerebral palsy and I'm trying to wipe my ass, I don't want any people to be watching that.
Okay. Let's go back and break down how current public restroom design en masse fails at each of these components that we just listed.
Oh, this is the fun part.
Right? I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start with privacy. Like, are public restrooms designed well for privacy now?
Not at all. Not at all. And in fact, remember that thing I sent you that, what's his name? The comedian, Ryan George?
Ryan George, yeah.
Yeah. He did. I'm going to link this. We're going to put this in the socials. Who knows? Maybe he'll become a fan of the pod, but that guy has it spot on. The whole thing about the doors, who thought of these damn doors? They have a big space at the bottom. And then if you're tall, there's a space at the top. And then there's that narrow band. This is the worst of all of it. Like I could forgive the first two, but the narrow band between the hinge and the door, like why? Like my door at my home and my front door, my car door, none of them have that.
You're talking about approximately an inch of gap, yes, maybe three quarters of an inch gap, yes, between the door and the wall where, it's not flush. So you can like totally peek in if you wanted to.
Yes.
Right.
If you wanted to.
And I do.
And they do. And they do. Yeah.
And exactly. I do. No. Just joking.
Oh, the
knock. Yeah. Joe, you were mentioning like the little knobby lock thing that almost fits in, but not quite. So if you push hard enough, it would definitely go open. And they still make these today. Like they still design bathrooms with all this. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've heard people complain about it, like even the gaps between the stalls where you could literally like just like look next to the stall, like right next to you and be like, hey, dude, how's it going?
Oh, behind. Yeah, at the wall. Yeah, that's a problem too.
You can totally peek through that little hole.
There's way too much peeking in this. Yeah. Brad, I'm starting to be concerned. It's, not just for your personal brand, but for those around you. What's happening?
That's sight. So that's how sight, there's major failings for that within current bathroom designs, mostly.
Okay.
What else?
Sound. This is the obvious one. I mean, it's too quiet in some bathrooms, in most bathrooms. There are, unless you're, you know, at like a restaurant or a club, I feel like music or ambient sounds are non-existent. So you're in there, you're just trying to check your hair, maybe floss. Here's my problem. I go in, I just need to floss my teeth, right? I got a meeting. I don't want lettuce between my teeth. That's all I'm trying to do. And all I got to hear is noises. All I'm smelling is smells, right? And suddenly I don't have a place to floss my teeth because I don't want to be there. That's not a fun experience for me. Mm-hmm. So the ventilation can be a big problem. And I'm not even talking, I'm talking to some of these hotels. I'm talking to some of these, you know, higher up corporate kind of offices. Like, did nobody think about ventilation? I mean, sure, they try to mask it with those little spritzer things that just scare you while you're peeing.
That's a Band-Aid.
That is a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. But ventilation, yeah. So
okay, so we covered sight, sound, and smell, I think, with the ventilation.
Yeah.
So bad safety. Are public restrooms safe spaces now? This is probably one where it could be contentious, but let's talk about it.
Anywhere where you go and you close the door and there's not a lot of people around, you're always going to have a safety issue. And I think this moves beyond the whole transgender argument. I think even without, first of all, I think that argument is just overblown. Like
I think it's more than overblown. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's total bullshit because think about it. Even if transgender didn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Even if we didn't have this topic, when she's little, goes into a bathroom, even now, even my wife goes into a bathroom, you don't know who's in there. Right. Somebody could be lying in wait, and it's not somebody who identifies as your gender. It's some fucking weirdo, regardless of gender. You know what I mean? That's the problem.
It's probably not going to be a transgender person you need to worry about. It's people who look like the three of us.
Well, I don't even want to say that. I don't want to say, I'm saying it's regardless of gender, age, whatever. It's a fucking creeper. Like, it's a weirdo. Exactly. It's a serial killer. It's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're always white guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But my point is with safety, it's always a concern. And I don't know how to address that one, to be honest with you, because the two solves we have, or the one solve, I guess we land on. I don't know if that's, we'll talk about it later. Let's talk about it later.
Yeah. I'm going to get into the privacy issue and how it conflicts with safety sometimes, but we'll keep on going. Cleanliness and hygiene. Obviously this is partially dependent upon people being good citizens in restrooms, right?
A little bit, but it's also about, like, you know, this move towards touch-free. Like, we have to touch a lot of things in the bathroom. Yeah. And Brad, you have mentioned on this pod many times about your big issue about opening and...
Can I repeat my diatribe here?
I totally
forgot to add this to the script, but yeah, I've got this one locked and loaded, man. All right, think of the user journey of going to the bathroom as us, as, you know, straight white guys, you know, whatever. All right, I'm going to describe it. I touch the door handle to open the door, right? What do I do next? Do I wash my hands? No. I go to a standing urinal and then I go to the bathroom, taking my germy hands that have just touched a door handle and then putting them on my most prized possession. I do my business. Then I go and I flush. Sometimes I have to touch a handle to do that. Then I go to the sink and then I wash my hands at that point. Right. Then I exit the bathroom. Well, I dry my hands too. Then I exit the bathroom often by touching another door handle.
Yep. Lots of touch.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And Brad, I'm going to say, you said straight white guys. I think it's a problem for gay white guys too.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Probably even more of a problem for women because they're going to the bathroom. I don't want to get into too many details, but it's, all right, I'm going to stop there.
Well, they don't have to. Let's get into it. I mean, we have to physically make contact with our
That's
sensitive
true.
Body
That's
parts.
True. That's, we don't have to. You could be like the guy with the towel.
I don't have that good of control.
Well, I mean, women do have to wipe.
Sure. Yes.
That has the potential.
But they also have to physically sit on a seat every
That's
time.
True.
We
That's
don't even
true.
Have to do that. We just, you know. And I don't want to speak for women. I've heard them, like, you know, tell horror tales of having to, like, squat over or stand above or, you know, because it's just.
You know what's funny about that? Because when she told me that, Joe, I was like, oh, those paper little things. I've never used that in my life. Yeah. I see them there.
Oh, really? I use them all the time.
Oh, of course. Well, personal brand. a gentleman does, Brad. Dirty jurors over here. Joe, do you use them? You don't use them.
Nah.
I don't know what we need to
admit that. But actually, also, I think we talked about this before, but on that journey you just laid out, Brad, there's just no good way. Well, there's one good way to dry your hands, but we've talked about it before. The, like, Dyson blades, the fans that just blast stuff everywhere, or, like, paper towels that are just wasteful. I mean, I think the one good thing, but it's not cost effective, is, like, having cloth towels that get, you know, washed and reused. But, you can't, you're not going to get those at Carl's Jr. That's only going to be at, like, you know, the high-end hotel or restaurant.
There's another solution that we'll talk about in a little bit, and it has to do with combining all of those things into one area.
Yeah.
Which I've also, in that r/bad design Reddit that I sent you guys to, like, made fun of that too. So I don't know if it's a solution, right? Yeah, they showed the hand dryer blowing soapy water out of the sink.
Right.
Can I tell you guys just another horror story? Like, here's one of my worst things, off brand again, is, like, when you go into a public restroom and if you do have to sit down and you sit down and the seat is warm from somebody else.
Oh, ooh. God. Oh, that's the worst. Oh,
and it's too late. It's too late. You can't get back up.
Wait, Brett, you feel that through your paper a throne? You could feel that?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they don't have those, you know, which is I have a problem with that, too.
Yeah. Okay.
That's, and it always, one of my always skews me out is when, like, the counter is just full of water. Like, how can we not wash our hands without just making a lake?
Well, some of the sinks splash it up, and it's bad design. It's just bad design. So we've got touching the door handles. We've got the air dryers blowing stuff all over the place. We've got what else do we got, guys? Oh, one thing we haven't talked about, and this is something I discovered in research for this episode that you guys seem to have already known about, but I never heard of until now. And this is called the toilet plume. Can somebody tell me what the toilet plume is? Because I'm scarred for life.
Pass.
So, apparently, you've never seen that episode of MythBusters where they talk about the fecal matter content of toothbrushes. What? And I'd like to forget it, but I can't.
Oh.
What happens is every time you flush a toilet, it basically aerosolizes very fine particles of everything that's in that toilet, the water, the urine, feces, and makes a cloud.
That can't be true.
So it's basically a shitstorm in every bathroom. So back to privacy. We had sound, smell, vision. We can now add taste to our necessary privacy.
God. Oh, my God. Oh,
I'm tasting something a little oaky. Okay. You know, maybe a hint of cherry and fig.
No one is going to want to listen to this episode.
It's a bit nutty.
It's a bit
No one is going to want to listen to this episode. Oh, God. And if anybody is accidentally listening to this at this point, I am sorry.
I can imagine all the people studying UX in college are like, oh, I found this great podcast. And then their professor listens to it going, what the hell is this?
Yeah. All the reasons that I didn't want to do this topic
have come to pass. Guys.
Let's keep on trucking.
Let's keep on trucking. Accessibility for all mobility types. Talk about that.
Accessibility for all mobility types. Okay. There's always one, accessible stall in a men's room. There's never more than one, regardless of the size of the restroom. In my experience, maybe some airports have more than one, but generally speaking, there's just one. And there's a bar. There's like a safety bar in there, and it's a little bit larger of a footprint. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So and also, I'm guilty of this. I'll use that one.
Oh, heck yeah!
Use that one first. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Everybody
wants to use that one.
That is the king's throne. and that goes to privacy because you get more privacy in that.
Yeah.
You get space.
For sure.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, it hasn't happened that I've taken that spot from a person who needs it. It might have without my knowledge, but it's something I think about every time.
That's the one good thing about the gap under the door is you might be able to see somebody come in that might need it.
See the wheelchair?
So you see a wheel or a cane, you might be like, I better wrap this up.
There's a great Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about this one.
Oh, is there? Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I'll have to.
Well,
have to
Larry takes that one, and then, that use case comes up where there's somebody who needs it.
Oh,
and
God.
Larry debates whether he really needed it or not.
Oh, I think I remember this. Yeah. We need to agree if that ever happens to us. Like, we need to just mea culpa. We need to just go, I'm an asshole. I'm sorry. This has never happened before in all of my years. I apologize.
Right.
How can I make it up to you? Uh-huh. Probably not the conversation they want to have with us.
In a bathroom. Probably any public bathroom is not a great place for conversation with strangers, depending on your personal taste. Now, let's keep on going.
Okay. So adaptability. Diaper changes you put here, right?
That was the example.
I think that's smart. And I think we already talked about that because like as guys, like, there's been times when I haven't been able to change a baby. I mean, my baby, not a baby.
Just random.
I'm going around grabbing babies. I'm a good Samaritan. But
excuse me, does your baby need a diaper change? I'll do it.
Why do you sound like Batman? Am I wearing a Batman costume?
Because he is. He's wearing a cow. He's...
I mean, it's not that dissimilar from Batman psychosis. I mean, he's a pretty crazy guy.
Anyway, keeping things on topic. Let's go to speed.
Okay. Was there anything else that we needed in adaptability? Because this might come up later, like, using a bathroom
there
to
is,
like
there is
room
actually, Joe.
And like, if you want to get.
No, there is. Yeah. And this goes into like religions. In one of the sites that I sent you guys, what was it called? Okay. The site is called stalled.online.
Great. I get it.
It's a great site and it has a transgender focus. But what's great about it is they move beyond that and it's like accessibility for all. And they're like how to build better bathrooms, which has been like very informative for this episode. And they have a couple of use cases, a couple of case studies. Oh, and they mentioned this. And I had never thought of that. I had never thought, this would be a thing where like the sinks are made in a way where it also comes down and people can wash their feet. Now, for Muslims, wudu is what – and forgiveness if that's pronouncing that incorrectly. But one of the pillars of Islam is that Muslims pray five times a day. And before those prayers, they're expected to perform a purification ritual called wudu. And that requires that they wash their faces, their hands, arms, and feet. So that article I read on Stalled, they address that. And that's something like – to your point, Brad, cisgender 40-year-old white man living in America.
Not going to design for him.
Probably wouldn't have designed for. So I wouldn't even think about that. So we had to actually do research. And this is why it's important that we do personas.
I think the feet washing is interesting. You know, I mean, Muslim people represent probably the largest religion in the, on the planet. Is that right?
Second.
Okay. That's a lot of people. But do you need to wash your feet in a public restroom? You might if you're a devout Muslim.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's keep on. And speed. So this seems to be a problem more for the ladies' room in general than the men's room. And that's, I think, a failure of design, which we can get into. Because as you brought up, Dave, when we were prepping this episode, oftentimes they use the same footprint, the same amount of square footage for the men 50-50. And the women's room. And they're different things, right?
It's totally, you need more space because women have stalls. We have urinals.
Right.
And that's why the lines are so long. I always thought, and we talked about this, I think, during the Ticketmaster or the concert episode, is that, or festivals, that I always assumed it was just that, you know, that we were faster because we could just, you know, drop, go, which is some of it, but it's just that there's less that. Women need more stalls. Yeah.
It's yes and. Like, you know, we have an advantage when it comes to the speed in a couple of different ways in general. So anyway, speed is an issue with how these are designed now. Yeah. So guys, why don't we design the perfect restroom? The three of us, why don't we fix it? That's what we want to do with this podcast. We want to fix shit. In this case, let's literally fix shitting, okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's go for it.
We know what we don't know. That's an important thing. We know what we know. That's less important, but we know it. So now let's get into it. Here's the thing. When you're designing restrooms, modern day restrooms, they are often broken down into zones. Those include zones for grooming, zones for washing. I'm not entirely sure that those are different zones, but we'll get into that. And then zones for what's called eliminating. So I had to think about eliminating. That's weird. But they mean pooping, right? Yeah, I think that's what they mean by eliminating. Yeah. Okay.
The primary function.
Okay. So let's go into each one of them. You had elimination first, Brad, when you did it, and I was like, no, let's save the best for last. And I know in the user journey, that's actually probably the first, right? You're usually going in, you're eliminating, then you're washing, and then grooming, whatever. That, like I said, I don't know if those are different, but like you said.
And let's not overlook entry and exit from the restrooms, because it's not explicit here, but it's very important.
Let's start there.
Okay.
Brad doesn't like touching the door handle, nor should he. I get it. I get it. In my last corporate job I had, they had these little tissues that you could grab on the way out to do the doors. And I always made fun of people for it.
No, I use those.
Being dirty jurors, you know, all the Brads in my universe at work, I'd be like, you baby, what are you doing? But now I get it. Post-COVID, I've changed my tune. I get it. I think the solution, the easy solve for this is the foot hook. But it needs to be redesigned, because the ones at like Target, like they're kind of awkward. Like I kind of wind up grabbing the door anyway, because I can't really, it's just, I don't know what the answer is. Have you guys seen a good door hook?
No, the foot hook is on the right track. It's not all the way there yet, though.
Yeah. Right. No pun intended.
I think obviously automatic doors would be great, but I think that's cost prohibitive. You're not going to have that for, you know, a bathroom at Kentucky Fried Chicken or something.
Yeah.
What about like dual swinging doors, like going in and out of a kitchen where they got those, like where when you're carrying trays, like you can
saloon style doors.
Yeah. Because this way you could push with your shoulder or elbow. Going in and going out, you don't actually have to touch it.
I like the functionality. The problem is containing the ventilation, the smells, Joe. Okay. The smells are going to leak.
You think?
I think. Because why?
The door's not opening. Oh, you're talking like actually like, you know, shorter doors or something? What do you mean?
You could have I don't know that you could have a floor-to-ceiling saloon door. Could you?
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Think about what I'm talking about is like, you know, when you're going in and out of the kitchen in a restaurant, they have like the two-way swinging door so that when you're carrying trays, you don't have to like use your hands. You could just push both ways.
Yeah, but you're touching it somehow.
Shoulders, but not with your hands.
I think the only thing that makes sense for touching a door is your foot, because you got a shoe on protecting you.
It's probably the best, but you know.
I think there's a way to use to create a better foot opening closing situation with a door. Yeah. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
Unless you guys have a better idea. I don't know.
Maybe something like the automatic trash can where you step on something and the door opens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. All right. Let's go inside the bathroom.
Okay. We're inside.
Let's groom.
I'm already unhappy. We haven't solved it yet.
What are you talking about? The foot hook works. It just needs to be angled a certain different way. No, we have not. Cisgender 40-year-old, non-disabled white guys.
Right.
We have not fixed it.
About that. Damn it. If I have a cane, if I have a wheelchair, problematic, but they do have the buttons. The buttons do open the doors, but you have to push the buttons.
I think
a panel that you wave your hand in front of.
Yeah.
How about beaded curtains?
Beaded curtains.
There it is. All right. We've got our solve. Let's
airports
move on.
Do this well because there are no doors. There
That's
are
true.
No doors.
Yes.
So airports do that well because they have designed a level of privacy where you can see the entrance and then there's a wall. And then
they have like,
the sort of the corridor
right.
pathway.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. That T-bone shape where you kind of.
That's it. And when we get to the end of the solution, Brad, mm-hmm. like my idea of the perfect bathroom, and the Stalled gets into it as well, this site that I told you about, I think it should be like the washing and the grooming area should be all gender. It should be a communal area like that restaurant I went to in Silver Lake.
Right.
And I think then you don't need doors. So that's a great point. But you are going
to need and you know what? We don't need it. Doesn't even need to be as big as I'm just thinking of this now. It doesn't have to be as big as like the airport bathroom with that big brick wall. But like, even if you just have like two kind of like offset dividers, like that they make the stalls out of, like, you literally just go around those and it's, you know, there's no door. You just kind of lock view with.
Let's also say at some point you got to touch something in the bathroom. It's a terrible way to phrase it. But think about it. You get to the stall has a door. There's no way you're going to make a Star Wars type door opening and closing or a foot hook or anything. You're going to have to touch that stall door. You're just going to have to.
Right.
You can't not have a door on the stall. So let's move along here because I'm going to have to edit the shit out of that. That was, holy God.
Just the door. That's just, we're not even in yet.
I didn't think the entrance would take so long. Okay. Let's go to grooming and washing. Let's define the difference between these two because I'm not entirely sure I understand.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So grooming and washing, you're doing both at the same place, right? Like grooming, I think that means you need a mirror.
Not necessarily. So in this one of the prototypes they explain, they had two sections for it. It was an airport example that they recreated, and they had one side was for grooming and one side was for washing. But I didn't understand the difference.
Well, I think this is the difference is that the washing is just for like washing your hands. Like I'm done using the bathroom. I want to wash my hands, but I might want to especially at an airport or at a gym.
Yeah.
I might want to put on a little deodorant, comb my hair, shave.
And for sure, I have seen plenty of examples of restrooms without mirrors. In the washing stations.
Right.
And for me, that's just frustrating.
Yes.
If it's by design, I get it. But it is frustrating when I see that. Disneyland seems to have a lot of restrooms without mirrors.
Really?
Yeah, that's bad. I think they're designed to keep you out of there.
Why. I think it's designed for speed, going back to the primary function of speed, not hang out in here and fix my hair.
So right. I wish this was visual so I can show you their prototype for the airport. It has a grooming station, and I'm just going to read this really quickly. It says, immediately adjacent to the concourse, the grooming station features a smart mirror that disseminates information, flight arrival and departure times, weather and retail. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
While users groom at a multi-level counter that serves people of different heights and abilities, those who want privacy can retreat into curtain alcoves for breastfeeding, administering medical procedures such as insulin injections, taking meditation, and engaging in private prayers. So I think the idea is that, it's a mirror. Mm-hmm. You can comb, you can brush, you could all that stuff. And it doesn't clog up the people who just want to wash their hands and go. That's on the other side. And that's just sinks. Probably doesn't have a mirror.
Yeah.
Right. So do we agree that we need a grooming and a washing station?
I think it's helpful in certain areas like airports. Like when you land and if you're going to a meeting, you want to freshen up.
High traffic areas probably make sense. Smaller bathrooms like your small business office or your restaurant probably doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. Well, maybe the office. Yeah. Where you want to floss your teeth, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, if we separate the washing and grooming from the actual stalls, that at least would solve it.
I think you're right, Dave. I think if you look at it in high traffic areas and if you divide it between that and, not like airports, public transport, all that. Yeah, it makes sense. Some people just want to move on and some people need a few extra moments at the sink. Yep, so, okay. I guess that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Other things we need there. Hand dryers. Let's talk about the hand dryers.
Hand dryers
suck. About the sensors. Yep.
Soap too.
And the soap.
Soap all and hand dryers.
Let's just talk about sensors in general.
Yeah.
There sensors needs to be suck. A revolution in sensors. I don't know why this is such a problem. We can make self-driving cars, as you said, Joe. We can go to Mars. Why can't we make these things work?
Just make them work. That's the solution.
And by the way, until you can make them work, let's not use them.
Let's offer a manual kind of what do they call them? Not really.
Annual override.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier on, like, the sinks don't appear to have a manual override. The toilets do. So the toilet sensors in public restrooms, they have an override. They have a little button or they have a handle that you can press if you have to. Right. But the sinks don't. So I've been in situations before where I've gone to the bathroom and I'm desperately trying. You guys know, listeners and users know, the shuffle that I've done across every sink, across down the line. Yeah. This doesn't work. Nope. Does this one work? Nope. Does this one work? Oh, no, that one back there. It just worked. Now I'm back to that one.
Even worse when you've already lathered up. We've already put the soap on your hand. Like, what happens?
Has happened.
What do you do?
I have. So,
I think all of these problems are a sensor problem, but let's talk about specifically the hand dryers. Now, I have seen the good and the bad of this design, but apparently some folks think if you put the hand dryer in where the washing occurs, that solves the problem of water getting everywhere. But then I watched a video on Reddit where the water was blowing soapy water onto the floor. So maybe that one was a bad design, but what do you guys think about having the hand dryer in the kind of trough area? If the trough is deep enough, the sink is deep enough.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like any of it. I think it might, maybe the way that I look at it is approaching the design of the floor. So if you look at the problem with the hand dryers, the problem seems to be like the traditional ones, either the traditional ones or even the Dyson ones. You have a collection of water that blows off of your hands onto the floor. What if there's just a grating? What if this is not an area where water could collect in the first place?
Right.
Yeah, or maybe right underneath it so it doesn't go anywhere to the floor. Like it's just like a compost situation or sand. Like and you put a plant in there. No, plants don't care.
Yeah. The old Dysons actually didn't blow to the floor because it was like kind of had that horseshoe shape that you would stick your hands like worst. Operation stuff.
Did you say you like those? Somebody said they like those.
I like them because they work effectively in drying, but they're, you know, there's
slash.
Well, they you know, with that horseshoe shape, it pulls up. You know, it could be a way to like eliminate it right there at the source. Yeah.
You know what it feels like, Joe?
Or just they just kind of blow out like, you know, sideways, and that's as bad as the old style ones.
It gives me a lot of anxiety, Joe. It feels like Operation. I might have said this on a previous episode, but it's like I'm always and then I hit the side. I'm like,
I gotta start all over again.
They should make the buzz. They should make it go. <Little shot. laughs>
So what is the solution? How do we dry our hand?
I think either the grate, like Brad said, either putting it over the sink, if that works, Brad's skeptical, or you do something like I said, you put a little potted like sand situation that the water can go into, or a plant where it can, you know, so it's like it's collecting and it's also adding an aesthetic value.
How about right over the sink? Like it, like almost like those like air dryers at like bowling alleys.
Have you not been paying attention? That's the thing Brad doesn't like.
Yeah. I think it's going to slow up the speed aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, this is the problem I have when I get coffee, you know, like a Panera or something. You know, you go, you fill up your coffee, and then right next to it, they have the place where you get the cups and the lids. And it's like, no, that's a whole other section. You got to keep it moving. Yeah. So maybe it's like maybe it's like that. It's like you have the washing, and then to the right, you've got the drying.
Yeah.
And then boom, you're
the grooming.
Out.
Wash, dry, groom.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. There you go.
Assembly line. Henry
Solved.
Ford.
All right, let's go eliminate. We're going really long, cleansing. And I gotta go.
Okay, well, let's do it.
All right. Okay, the first thing I gotta say, this is the first thing I have to say, guys, okay? You need ambient sound. You need music. I don't want to hear. It's a very awkward situation, okay? I know.
Yeah.
Not for everybody, but for most people. You go in, you just gotta pee, or you just gotta wash your hands. You don't want to hear grunting. And some people just have no manners in the bathroom. Full on grunts. I'm like, that's not acceptable. You got to do it.
Agreed.
So, okay. So some type of fan situation, like you need ventilation anyway. So each stall maybe has a fan or anything, but there has to be that. And then there also has to be good ventilation. So sound and smell are huge.
And sound and ventilation, I think you could possibly tackle at the same time.
Yeah. Like you got a fan, right?
The fan has noise.
Right. There it is. I mean, not going to cure all of it, right? There's always going to be the loud grunters. There are always going to be people putting in extra work.
Yeah. People who are doing that, try not to do that. Maybe it's not possible to prevent that all the time, but I kind of feel like it is. I think if you're in a public spot,
sometimes a grunt sneaks out. I get it. Sometimes it was a little bit more effort than you expected. And, you know, it just slips. It doesn't slip out. You've got to force it out, but the grunt slips out.
Okay. All right. Okay. You just got to rock back and forth a little bit.
I'm going to destroy Brad's personal brand.
Oh, you're destroying my brain here with this episode.
Okay. So those are the two things I have. That's it. That's all I care about.
So, okay, we've covered elimination, and Joe just went for a bathroom break. So welcome back, Joe. Well timed.
I literally just went to blow my nose.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Okay, so sound and smell, those are two things that,
huge.
I agree. Yep. Now, let's talk about the walls. Let's just get right into it, because I do have a take here, because the walls and the doors not going all the way down. So what do you guys think is the solve here? And then I'll have a counter.
Go all the way down. That's easy. It's easy peasy.
I'll have a contrary opinion.
Whenever that experience happens, I am the happiest man in the world. Because you know what I know, Brad?
Yeah.
I could sit in there all day if I wanted to. I don't like to be rushed. So if I wanted to read the newspaper and sit in there at that hotel, that's
Do you think that might be part of it? Do you think that might be part of why it's designed that way?
Yeah, it's like the Disney thing without the mirrors. Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think it'd be in there all day long.
I don't think that's what they should be doing.
Right. They also probably are discouraging nefarious activity from going on within those stalls.
Possibly. Maybe. Yeah.
And here's a bigger one. I think it's security. I think it's security. If you're in a department store, they're going to do security sweeps at the end of the night. And they probably, they can just look under the stalls to see if anybody's there. I think it could be a safety thing, safety and security.
These are great points, Brad. And this is what makes it even harder just to come up with a solve.
Right.
Because, and not even just at the end of the night, like we said before, if you have these areas where you have to go in physically inside something, you're worrying about being attacked. And if somebody's in that stall and they lock it and the sound is like I like it,
right?
And the doors are we like it, then that person is being assaulted. If we have an open, so it's like the stalls are all in plain view, right? And then the grooming washing stations are all gender, like everyone can use it, then the safety issue goes away because you're not putting it into a space that's entirely private. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm starting to develop an idea that maybe the paradox between public and private is part of the concern here and part of the bad design.
Yeah.
What if we're pretending that these spaces are semi-private and they're not? What if we just gave up on that notion and had truly out there public restrooms? It is floor to ceiling. It's the individual stalls, but the doors go all the way down.
Yeah.
But there's no binary construct to the restrooms at all.
Right.
And it's not in an enclosed space.
Right. You'd walk by it, and if you were getting assaulted, somebody would see, that person went in there, and then that other person went. You would hear things. It wouldn't be so tucked away. I think that's the problem with the safety is it's tucked away. There's a door. There's another door. I don't know. I think
there's something to that. The paradox of public and private is part of the problem. That's a lot of alliteration.
Yeah. Yep.
The paradox between public and private is part of the problem. The paradox between public and private is part of the problem.
So you're proposing there's just a hallway closet. You're just walking down a airport corridor. There's just all the stall doors are just right on the concourse. Yeah. Go in and
exactly
look
right.
Look on stalled.
My take on that blueprint or whatever was that that was all one big room. It's still traditional. You go in one door.
No, it's the concourse. You're walking down and then that grooming washing station is there. And then the stalls are just floor to ceiling, little rooms.
Right off of the main.
Yep.
Oh, is that what that diagram was? I didn't catch that either. I thought it was still within an enclosed bathroom space.
No, yeah, that's what I thought too.
So do that everywhere. Airport.
You're gate 45 to 46. There's just a row of doors right there. They're all just personal.
I mean, it kind of dips in, I have the buses have, sometimes the buses have a little side cut into the curb where they can move in. It's It's still totally visible. And I think you can't do that everywhere. You don't have the space for that everywhere, but you could do in a way, when I went to this place in Silver Lake, they obviously had retrofitted because there was a left and a right, but it was still you could see all those doors.
Yeah.
Right. So if there's a problem that noise is going to go out farther into the general space. It's not going to be contained behind a second door, that primary door. That primary door is a problem.
I think so. And I think it's maybe needless. Like maybe if we just shifted the way that we think about this a little bit, like, you know, we would find that that primary door serves very little function.
Yeah. The privacy you need is in elimination. I don't need privacy to wash my hands. I don't need to be with you fellas when washing my hands and, you know, brushing my teeth. So,
but if we rethought on like what a public restroom is for, and if we like deprioritize things that are
exactly,
you know, those edge cases are at the periphery and they're not primarily addressing those things of privacy, safety, cleanliness and hygiene, accessibility and adaptability and speed, then anything outside of that could be deprioritized.
Yeah. So your privacy is just for your elimination.
Right.
Your hand washing, your grooming, all of that is, we could all do that together.
Yeah. Right.
This is pretty amazing that the whole transgender argument about bathrooms is actually our solution. Mm-hmm. Like there is our solution to the crappy bathroom experience. I love this. So
So don't have a bathroom, have stalls and then everything else is. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I think we solved it.
I think we should put pen to paper, and I think we should put it on our website.
Well, I think some of these sites already did it, but we can link to that. But if you want to get drawing today, go for it.
I will get drawing. I will take credit for it.
All right, guys.
Well, we fixed it.
I think so. I think it's, you know, I don't think. Let me just wrap it up, though.
Okay, please.
Our solution. Some type of way to open the door. Actually, we got rid of the door. So until you get rid of the door, foot hooks, better foot hooks. Mm-hmm. Sensors, better sensors. Okay. Some type of solution to the splatter for air hand dryers, whether it be a plant underneath it, whether it be a grate, or whether integrating it with the sink. Mm-hmm. Ambient noise or some type of, you can have fun with this. You can play rock and roll. You can play rap. You can play whatever you want, country. Just some type of music so I don't have to hear the grunters.
Maybe you can select. There's like a little...
Yeah, a little jukebox in the bathroom. Non-touch.
Yeah.
And then we have ventilation. Proper ventilation is probably, out of all of these, the key. That is probably the number one. And then finally, an open space, non-private area for washing and grooming, with the personal space being the stalls that are visible and audible to everyone. Not audible. Well, for safety concerns. Like if you're banging on the door.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So, I like it.
I like it too. I think, like, you know, there's an argument that some people would want privacy while they're grooming, right? If they're going to trim their nose hairs or something like that.
That's a good point. Maybe have a standalone bathroom. That would be a good solve for the disabled as well, because you would have a standalone bathroom that's big enough for that use case. And that would be also the place you can go for grooming privately. I don't know.
I don't know.
We're not going to solve everything, Brad.
I think we solved most of it.
We did. I think we should go into the business of making bathrooms. That's what I'll tell you.
I think, you know, for those edge cases, if I'm going to trim my nose hairs in public, maybe I don't do that, you know, or maybe I just either we get a little bit more comfortable with seeing how the sausage is made by how great we all look right now.
I could sit next to a woman while she trims her nose hairs. And Joe, I really like your idea about this jukebox. It could be in the stalls. I could be like, hey, bathroom. Like that would be the keyword. Hey, bathroom, play the Rolling Stones, you know?
Yep.
Wait, let's think of a better joke. Like bathroom related tunes. Come on, give me one, guy. Feed me one.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Joe, you win. You won the whole podcast.
Oh my god, drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh my god. All right. So guys, like I said, I think we did it. Perfect bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations. And I look forward to all the credit. I think I know that this episode seems a little crass maybe in sometimes, but you know, when we look back 50 years from now and realize that we've won a Nobel Prize from this episode, I think it'll be worth it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Sucks Podcast. A friendly reminder to please rate this podcast, share with your friends. And in the meantime, we're wishing you health, a well-designed life, and good poopy experiences.
Ring of fire.
Ugh. Hurts so good.
Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Oops, I did it again. Free Fallen. Smells like Teen Spirit.
Oh my god.
Wipeout?
Wait. Hurt.
Hurts. I hurt myself today. Push it real good.
Push it. Push it. Yes. When the levee breaks. Oh god.